Titus chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 2. Paul writes there, he tells Titus, he says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. I'm just going to kind of treat these two verses somewhat textually. As you can see from the passage here, a number of topics could come to mind, could serve as, you know, the focus of our study here tonight. And we'll probably talk about a little bit of everything from these two verses. But namely, it's the fact that Paul is exhorting a man who has the responsibility for teaching people the Word of God. And there's some things here, I think, as we begin to get into it, other ideas that we will expand on that may not directly be the issue in the passage, but does have a bearing indirectly on what is being communicated here in Titus 2, 1 and 2. Namely, you start with the fact that Paul exhorts Titus. He says, but speak thou. And I take that and I look at that and look at what the preacher's responsibility is, what the man of God's responsibility is, what the teacher of the Word of God's responsibility is. And his responsibility, first and foremost, is to teach things that are consistent with sound doctrine, which become sound doctrine, which is becoming the sound doctrine. And when I read that verse, I'm asking myself, you know, I think it's real important sometimes, you know, to seriously stop and reflect on how you read a verse and what you come away with by the way you read it. But it is very important that we read a verse right. And because words, you know, like the word become, can have different meanings to it, it's important to go and look up and see what the word become means and the various definitions that may be assigned to it, but then to come back to the verse and read it with the different definitions in order to gain the sense of what is being communicated here. And I think one can walk away from this verse understanding when he says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That what Paul is teaching here is that let me say it this way. I believe that sound doctrine determines or dictates what you talk about, what you preach about, what you teach about. As opposed to, you know, very typical things in the arena of politics. You know, they always talk about taking a poll and determine whatever the poll, depending on what the poll, you know, is assessed by that poll, is the direction that people go. Well, you don't do that with the Word of God. The Word of God is something unique, okay? And that is, it doesn't change with the times as such. It doesn't change. I'm talking about the completed Word of God. It's fixed. All of time is wrapped up in the pages of that book from Genesis to Revelation. You have the past, the present, and the future. And God's word on the past, the present, and the future has already been given. It's already fixed, already determined. And that's not going to change. And that's the one of the beautiful things, one of the marvelous things about having a finished product, a finished written word of God that is not ongoing, is not continually giving new revelation. And so, no, it's fixed. Everything that God wants us to know, we got it in the Bible, and especially, as we like to say, in the King James Version. Now, having said that, let's look at, again, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Let's talk about the preacher for a moment, the teacher of the Word of God, who he is, what we're to think about, how we're to think about preachers and teachers today. I want you to look at two passages of Scripture with me. One is Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. And the other one is 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 28. In Ephesians 4, actually, there it says he gave, the Lord Jesus Christ gave some apostles. And I would emphasize and highlight the word gave, not giving. He's not giving, he gave. Same thing in 1 Corinthians 12, 28. And God hath set some in the church. He's not setting some in the church today. He hath, this is something that God has done. And I'll use a phrase that Paul uses, in due time, God set some in the church. In due time, God gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, I say it that way because I want to, again, highlight the preacher, how we're to think about the preacher, how we're to think about the teachers of the Word of God. Now, in Ephesians, he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Now, if you back up to Ephesians 4 and verse 8, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, these gifts that he gives are enumerated in verse 11. The gift of an apostle, the gift of a prophet, the gift of an evangelist, the gift of pastors and teachers. Now, those are the gifts he gave. They are the gifts of men. And they are supernatural gift. They're not the offices. He's not giving the office per se in that verse. He gave the men. Okay? He gave gifts unto men. And those gifts were supernaturally enabled men. 1 Corinthians 12, 28, same idea. And God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. And in 1 Corinthians, you have an additional set of gifts. And after that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. So you got two categories of gifts, supernatural gifts, supernaturally enabled, supernaturally empowered in both cases, you might say, by the Holy Spirit as such. But now here's what I'm driving at. They're supernatural, gifted men. And when they preach and taught the word, it was authoritative. They weren't given an opinion. They weren't giving an educated guess. But rather, having been divinely enlightened, present the Word of God to the people of God. Now, when it's important to take note when I want you to go back to Ephesians because I want you to follow along with me here carefully. And take a look at verse 8 again. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. When did he give the gifts? After his ascension. Now, that tells me something very important. That is not the event in Acts chapter 1. Ephesians 4, verse 8, 9, 10, 11 here, is not the event recorded in Acts chapter 1. Now, just do a little bit reflecting on the verse itself. Think about what's being stated. Recall the details of the events in Acts chapter 1, and I think you will agree with me. What Paul is speaking about here in Ephesians 4, 8, 9 through 11, and what Paul is speaking about in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 28 is not the event in Acts chapter 1. Now, what's recorded in Acts chapter 1? The ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to take a look back at Acts chapter 1 briefly with me. And let's look at verse 1. Verse 1 and 2. Acts chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. The former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he, what, had chosen. These apostles, prior to his ascension, had already been selected, had already been given. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8 through 11, and in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28, you're talking about a giving. One, you're talking about an ascension. And you're talking about a giving subsequent to Acts chapter 1. Not contemporary with Acts chapter 1, but subsequent. In the sequence of time, this is after Acts chapter 1. You're not reading about Acts chapter 1 in Ephesians 4, verse 8 through 11. You're reading about an entirely separate and distinct event. You see, back in Acts chapter 1, at the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, He's not giving apostles there. He already had chosen apostles. Now, let's go back to Ephesians 4. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, but what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Here's my point. This ascension is far above all heaven. He, the same also ascended up far above what? All heavens, that he might fill all things. There's a new purpose indicated by this ascension. A new purpose. There's a new program introduced at this ascension, as it were, per se. Remember 1 Timothy 1:15 and 16? This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to do what? To save sinners, of whom I am chief. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath what? Hath appeared to all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and that we should live righteously, or godly and righteously in this present world. Now, at the introduction of the dispensation of the grace of God in the forming of the church, the body of Christ, God gives supernatural gifts of men. As Paul goes about preaching, testifying the gospel of the grace of God, from the beginning of his ministry to the end of his ministry, Paul had but one testimony, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You need to be real clear in your mind about that. From the beginning of his ministry to the end, Paul had but one testimony. He testified of the gospel of the grace of God. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. You look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 13. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals, in my own nation being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace to do what? To reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Excuse me. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me. And get that, they were apostles before Paul. Paul's apostleship, Paul's marks a new, separate, and distinct apostleship. Who were apostles before me. But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter in a boat with him 15 days, etc. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 1. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This was Paul's preaching from the very beginning to the very end of his ministry. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 4 beginning at verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. He had but one course from the beginning to the end. He didn't have two courses. He had but one course to testify the gospel of the grace of God, the preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I have kept the faith. Now, I say that because I'm trying to emphasize a point here. That at this ascension that is spoken of in Ephesians is the introduction of the dispensation of the grace of God. And Paul's apostleship is because of this new dispensation. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. He was arrested on the road to Damascus. For you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery. Paul's apostleship is because of a new dispensation, a new spiritual program that God is introducing, a new world, a new and different world from that of the Lord Jesus Christ and that of the apostles. A reconciled world where God has put no difference between Jews and Gentiles. And the ministry and the message becomes, the concern of the ministry and the message today is to deal with them that are in Adam. And it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, in Adam all die, or whether you're in Christ, and it doesn't matter whether you're Jew or Gentile, in Christ shall all be made alive. And there is no difference in either one of those positions for an individual today. That's the world that you and I live in. That is not the world that Christ ministered in and labored in. That is not the world that the apostles, the 12 apostles, ministered in and labored in. We live in a world, a reconciled world. They lived in an unreconciled world where there was a difference between Jews and Gentiles. Where there was a recognition of the Lord Jesus Christ after the flesh. As Romans 15:8 aptly points out, Jesus Christ, now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers. Paul's apostleship. When it says he gave some apostles and some prophets, he gave these gifts marking the beginning of a new program, a new ministry, a new purpose. And he begins to give that revelation first to and through the Apostle Paul. Now, I want you to look back. We looked at this verse last week. I want to bring your attention to it again in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Because what I hadn't forgot my original point about Titus 2:1. I might be taking the long way around to get there, but I think what I'm communicating to you will go a long way to help you in your understanding about how we are to think about preachers and teachers of the Word of God today. Versus how they were thought about and understood before the written Word of God was completed. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, as I began to read 1 Corinthians chapter 2, here's the idea. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, here's the idea I want you to dwell on as I read down through the passage, is this. At the beginning of the dispensation of the grace of God, God's purpose and design is to establish this new dispensation, to establish this new spiritual program. He raises up an apostle, in this case, Paul. What did Paul write in 1 Corinthians 3:10? I am the wise. Well, let me look over there. He says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me, talking about his apostleship, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. Now, the idea again that I wanted you to follow along with me here is this. In 1 Corinthians 12:28 and Ephesians 4:8 through 11, you're reading about the foundation. You're reading about God establishing this, just like God did with Israel, with Moses, and the beginning of their program, and the establishing of the authority of Moses, likewise establishing the authority of the Apostle Paul, but establishing overall and defining overall the dispensation of the grace of God. Paul is the one, he lays the foundation. Now that idea will agree perfectly with Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 20, when he talks about and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. That's why those verses are spoken in the past tense. He hath placed some in the church. Given apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Past tense. Referring back to the introduction and the establishing of the dispensation of the grace of God. And he did this with supernatural enabled or empowered men that had the authority to deal with, say, a wayward church, to set the matter right without any questions as such. That is, they, not, you understand, Paul was the authority. And every church everywhere had to subject itself and submit itself to Paul's authority. That's what you're dealing with in Ephesians 4, 11, 8 through 11. And that's what you're dealing with in 1 Corinthians 12, 28. That is not the truth of the matter today, because we're beyond that. We are at a place where the ministry and the program has been established, and God has caused those things to be written down in a book, that is the faith, the doctrine, that governs the dispensation of the grace of God. It's been given forth, it's been identified, it's been codified, whatever, however you want to say it. All of those things were done in Paul's lifetime and fixed, finished and fixed. Look at Colossians chapter, I'm coming back to 1 Corinthians 2. I hadn't forgot it, but I hope this approach doesn't lose you, and I hope it doesn't irk you, or is too grievous for you. I hope you're able to follow along with me. And if not, give me your questions afterwards, and I'll try to clarify. But where did I tell you to go just now? Lost my train of thought there. Told you to turn to a passage of Scripture. Where did it? Can someone post if they remember what I just said? Oh, yes, Colossians. Thank you, thank you. Colossians chapter 2. Make that chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Who now, that is, I, Paul, now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. To what? To fulfill the word of God. Or to complete the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest. Again, I'm saying to you, beginning with Paul, God introduced a new program. And it is through the revelation that God gives to Paul and the writing down of that information that completes the written revelation of God. That when that was done, those gifts in 1 Corinthians 12, 28, and those gifts that are enumerated in Ephesians 4, 8 through 11, pass off the scene. You no longer have any of those gifts present in the church today. Now, what kind of preachers and teachers do we have today that have the responsibility for preaching and teaching the Word of God to the people of God? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, anybody in the ministry today, now hear me well when I say this, anybody in the ministry today is in the ministry according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Any preacher or any teacher of the Word of God today is according to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. There are no men in the ministry today according to 1 Corinthians 12:28 or Ephesians 4, verses 8 through 11. There are no one that is in the ministry today according to those passages. Now, that affects how we are to understand preachers and teachers of the Word of God today. Paul says to Titus, "Preach thou the things which become sound doctrine." Your job and my job today, for those who preach and teach the Word of God, is to do just that, to preach and teach the things which become sound doctrine. If I say it this way, we don't make policy. And maybe that's one of the best ways I know how to distinguish our task from that of those that are spoken of in 1 Corinthians 12 and 28 and Ephesians 4, 8 through 11. Our task is not to set policy, but to simply to teach those things which becomes the policy that was already set and established by the apostle, by the apostle Paul in this case. And we're to teach the things which become sound doctrine that are consistent with the doctrine, with the policy that Paul established and laid down in his writing. That's why in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, Paul says to Timothy, "As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they do what? Teach no other doctrine." Now, you see in this passage here, as well as in Titus chapter 2, verse 1, two basic ideas that I was leading up to, and I'm just going to state them and open it up for questions, and it's this. In 1 Timothy there, verse 3 and 4 and 5, when you talk about true Christianity, you talk about the believer's walk. Sound doctrine is the stuff that life is made of. Okay? That's why Paul says, teach no other. Sound doctrine is not just Bible doctrine. It's not just any doctrine. If you look down at verse 10 and 11, he says, "If there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust." Sound doctrine is Pauline truth. Paul has laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereupon. Paul sets policy. We're to teach things that are consistent with that policy, with sound doctrine. We don't make policy, but rather we're to expound on the policy and to teach things that are consistent with the policy. Now, the things that Paul taught here's what I want you to take away from all of this, that it is truly the key to true Christian maturity. And the three things that characterize true spirituality today is faith, charity, patience. It's that abiding trinity in 1 Corinthians, faith, hope, and love. Paul says, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that, you know, you might be sound in the faith, sound in charity, sound in patience, that you might be sound in faith, hope, and charity, the abiding trinity, that which is the mark of Christian maturity today. We're to teach things which become sound doctrine, that is consistent with sound, that we might be sound in the faith. That's what the job of the preacher is today, the teacher of the Word of God today. You and I are not supernaturally, I'm not supernaturally empowered. I have to study. I have to labor in word and in doctrine. I have to rightly divide the word of truth to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. And you're to receive that word with all readiness of mind. You're to receive that word as the word of God. And then to search the scriptures daily to see whether or not these things are so. And thereby enrich your maturity, your growth spiritually. If that's not the process, if you're not receiving these things, then going and searching them out and knowing what you should believe about those things, you're not growing. And if you don't do that, you don't care about your spiritual growth. In 1 Corinthians 2, the whole point about all of that was that God established the doctrine through the Apostle Paul, through those supernatural gifts of men that he placed in the church at the beginning of the dispensation of grace. When the revelation was completed, there was no longer any need for those supernatural gifts. The Word of God, the written Word of God, becomes the authority in the life of every believer today. That's why the Bible version issue is such an issue. But in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10, but as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And the point of those two verses simply is this. God first reveals to one that becomes the foundation layer. And then the revelation comes to all others through his preaching and his teachings. I've laid the foundation and another man buildeth thereupon. My point, those supernatural gifts of men, those prophets, their job was to identify what the Word of God was. He set the policy. The prophets and so forth and others like, you know, supernatural gifts, theirs were to validate. Remember, there was false letters being circulated in the name of the apostles. You had prophets in the church who had been given gifts to discern what was the Word of God written by the apostles and what was not. They identified that your Bible that you have in your hand and its canonicity was fixed and determined by supernaturally enabled men. And did not wait until 300 or 400 AD to determine the books of your Bible or what the Word of God was. The Word of God had already been fixed in Paul's day.